Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the Boston Marathon, which is being run for the 120th time on this Monday in the northeastern U.S. state of Massachusetts. For an update, let's go to Boston, where athletics reporter Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse is standing by. Sporty greetings, Parker.
Hello, Sonny.
Parker, great day for Ethiopia. Let me begin with a sunny side of sports salute to Lemmy Haile and Atsede Baisa. They sweep the men's and women's titles for Ethiopia on what looked to be a beautiful day there in Boston, Parker. Ladies first, Parker. Talk about Atsede Baisa's triumph.
Well, Baisa was actually well off the lead, even at the top of the famous Heartbreak Hill. The word is that she was behind by as much as half a minute. She closed all of that and got out to an almost 44-second lead by the end. She waited. She was patient. And the lead pair of Terpi Tsagai and Joyce Chepkurui, who were out in front coming down the hills, she just chased them down past. First moved into second at Coolidge Corner, and then before the final mile got into first. And those two were struggling so much after maintaining the lead. Once she passed them, they were done.
This is
the first time that Ethiopia has won both titles in Boston that anybody can remember.
Congratulations to Ethiopia, Parker. Atsede Baisa's unofficial time, 2 hours, 29 minutes, and 19 seconds. Did her move surprise you, Parker?
It surprised pretty much everybody. The only way that I even knew it was coming was that I was talking with the bicycle spotters. Pretty much everybody, including, in particular, Tsagai, was not expecting to see her that late in the race. But Tsagai started looking behind her as they were coming down the hill. She must have had a clue that something was coming. But then when Baisa came by, there was nothing they could do. She was moving much faster than the two leaders were, and that was pretty much the end of it. There wasn't anything they could do to respond.
Atsede Baisa also won the women's title at the Chicago Marathon in 2010 and 2012. I think she has a personal best of about 2 hours and 22 minutes. Little slower on this Monday, Parker. Talk about the weather. Was that a factor in the race?
The weather was definitely a factor. It was relatively warm early in the race. They were calling, and even at the finish, they were calling 20 degrees Celsius. Then after running 16, 17, 18 miles in the heat, getting warm and wet, once they crested the hills in Newton, they were met with a headwind and a cold sea breeze, really. So once they were tired and hot, they then got really cold and had the wind in their faces. It was not easy to be a leader today, and I think we saw that in particular in the race of Joyce Chepkurui, who did a lot of the work setting the pace in the early miles of the race. Left her without enough power to respond when Baisa came by.
Parker, in your preview on Friday, you told our VOA listeners that Caroline Rotich was back in Boston to defend her women's title. What happened to Rotich in the race?
Rotich actually stepped off the course at about 7 kilometers. We have not heard what went wrong with her, but she did, in fact, leave the race and will not be finishing.
Let's move to the men's race now, Parker. Ethiopia celebrates again. Lemmy Haile, 21 years old. Unofficial time of 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 44 seconds. Talk about his victory, Parker.
This is another one. He was a little less of a surprise because Haile was the one who covered the moves made by defending champion Lalisa De Sisa. De Sisa really, really blew the race apart in the 16th and 17th miles. The course makes a long descent into Lower Falls and crosses the Charles River. And once it crosses the river, it's the first of the hills into Newton. When De Sisa, he opened up the pace coming down the hill and then held it going up. And that really took almost everybody off the lead except for Haile. He was the one who hung on. And then it turned out late in the race was the one who had more leg speed and was just able to outlast De Sisa. De Sisa did finish second, so that was a much better result for the defending champion in the men's race.
Parker, how much did Lemmy Haile and Atsede Baissa strengthen their bid to run in Rio in August for the Olympics with their performance on Monday in Boston?
Well, that's an open question. The Ethiopian Federation has not said specifically what criteria they will use to decide to select the team. They have said that results in Boston and London will be considered. So, I think that probably a victory in Boston is a very strong argument for being included on the team. In particular, the conditions here in Boston are far more likely to be similar to what we'll see in Brazil in August than what we'll see in London next weekend. I think that it's possible that people like De Sisa may have weakened his case to be included in the team. Similarly on the women's side, defending Olympic champion Piki Jalana was not in the top 10, and it seems like she's really got an uphill battle to get selected to defend that title now.
Parker, there's always great sidebar stories at every Boston Marathon involving athletes, maybe who aren't up there with the elite runners, but they have interesting stories to tell. Do you have any you'd like to share with our Voice of America listeners?
Well, we have in ninth place, the first American finisher is a young woman named Neely Spence Gracie, who is interesting in that she was born on Marathon Monday in 1990, and her father, Steve Spence, was the third place finisher in the 1991 World Championships Marathon in Tokyo.
So she's the top American.
Yes, indeed. She ran 2:35.00, but this was her first marathon. She did not run the U.S. Olympic trial, so we won't be seeing her in Rio. But it's a promising beginning, for somebody that we hope to see more of. Another interesting runner today was Buzunesh Deba, another Ethiopian who finished seventh in 2:33.56. She's the only woman to have run under 2 hours and 20 minutes on the Boston course and has finished second and third in New York and Boston many times, was really in the hunt for quite a long time today and would often fall back after getting water. She would slow down, make sure that she got a solid drink, and then pick back up and rejoin the pack. She was really in the hunt for quite a long time, and I think that we're still looking for Deba to make her breakthrough. She's got the potential to be a major marathon winner, but hasn't quite pulled it together to do it yet.
Parker, how would you describe the crowds in Boston on Monday?
Jubilant, I would say. This is Monday is in Massachusetts is a state holiday. It's called Patriots Day. Many people were off work or took the day off, and the course passes a number of colleges, which frequently the college students will turn out and line the courses where they pass by. with nice weather. It was better weather for the spectators than the runners since it was warm. So there were big crowds throughout the course, and they were loud and happy.
Thank you, Parker, for that update on the 120th Boston Marathon.
Thank you, Sonny. Always a pleasure.
That's Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse speaking with us from Boston, Massachusetts. Meanwhile, when the Ethiopian selectors decide on their Olympic marathon teams for Rio at the end of this month, the names of Tesfaye Abera and Meselech Melkamu are very likely to be in their thoughts after their victories at the Hamburg Marathon in Germany on Sunday. The energetic Andy Edwards reports from Hamburg on two outstanding performances.
One is a seasoned competitor, the other relatively new to the world scene. Well, the more experienced performer, Meselech Melkamu, once again proves she can battle the elements as well as run fast and beat her rivals. She said before the race how motivated she was to qualify for the Olympic team for Ethiopia in the marathon, and her commitment could not be faulted. Melkamu took more than 2 minutes off the course record to run 2 hours, 21 minutes and 54 seconds. That was almost within a minute of her lifetime best. Now, taking into account the strong wind that made life tough for the runners in the second half of the race, it was a perfect reminder of her ability to the Ethiopian selectors. Last year's women's champion, Mesret Hailu, also performed creditably to finish second, but almost 6 minutes behind her compatriot. A big talking point in this North German city was the performance of the local runner, Anja Schell, who finished third, beating a stack of better-known performers and running well inside the national Olympic qualifying time with 2 hours, 27 minutes, 50. Tesfaye Abera scored his second big win of the year in very different conditions to those of Dubai in late January. Hamburg presented its variable weather conditions, sunshine, then sharp winds, which tested even the elite. The men's lead pack offered a contrast in height, with the contest coming down to a duel between the lanky Abera, one of the tallest marathon runners in the world, and the diminutive Kenyan policeman Philemon Rono. The latter had finished third and fourth in previous Hamburg races and improved in the latest edition as well, but not enough to deny the Ethiopian. Tesfaye Abera won in 2 hours, 6 minutes and 58 seconds, almost half a minute clear of Rono, with another Kenyan, Josephat Kiprono, almost 4 minutes adrift of the winner. Ethiopian selectors for the Olympic marathon have a big field of choice as ever, and the spring marathon season still has a week to run. But the performances of Tesfaye Abera and Meselech Melkamu should win some solid votes. For the sunny side of sports, this is Andy Edwards in Hamburg.
Thanks, Andy. Before the Hamburg Marathon, Andy caught up with a former Dutch long-distance runner who was now a top sports manager and who helped put together the elite field for the marathon in Germany. Once again, here's Andy.
We're talking with one of the key men in terms of the Hasper Marathon in Hamburg. That is Jos Hermans, well known throughout the world of athletics as a manager. His global sports communications organization is very well known, managing athletes, and he's got a key role in putting the elite field together. Jos, we all know that springtime, marathon time, it's a key time. This year is the Olympics as well, biggest year of all. What attracts the top runners to Hamburg? It's a crowded season, so they've got quite a lot of choice, but what are the key factors in them coming to Hamburg?
I think Hamburg has a good course, is very nice, a lot of public, a lot of crowds, and the marathon has a very good attitude. They at least feel very welcome here, and it's not like, okay, here's the start and you find out your own way. There's many different groups, different pacemakers, so there's a lot of respect for the athletes, which I think is normal, because athletes can run two times a year. They have maybe 10 good marathons in their body, so I think they deserve to have the best possible service, and they give a very good service here in Hamburg, in the way of, if you are a 212 runner, you will have a group with your own pacemakers for 212. You don't have to go with a group of 26 and kill yourself, and that happens in a lot of marathons.
That's interesting, because this year, of course, the Olympics in Rio, and we're coming to the deadline for Olympic selection. Mm-hmm. A lot of Ethiopians in particular come to Hamburg, and the federation says, well, we're going to take the fastest runners. Yeah. So
that seems that that's why Hamburg is a good choice. I mean, it, as you say, fast course. Sometimes the wind comes in from the North Sea, but it's all it's important that runners feel comfortable.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the Ethiopian Federation, 4 years ago, they made a big mistake. They took the three fastest guys from Dubai, and they all didn't do very well. I think most of them dropped out. So they understand now that it's not just a matter of fast time. So they will look at the times, but also look where did you run and what position did you have, how did you achieve it, and what kind of conditions. And then Hamburg is a very good place to be. If we have good weather, they can run very good times here. Then they can compete with London or Boston. But basically, I think the team will be picked from Boston, London, and Hamburg. And of course, it's nice for Hamburg to be in that group with Boston and London.
And just lastly, of course, you know from your own experience as a championship track runner, championship, Olympic, World Championship, European Championship marathons, they're not like the big city races. So what you're saying about varying wind or weather conditions, runners have to be able to cope with all sorts of conditions, don't they? And selectors look at that, not just times.
Yeah, well, in Ethiopia, they're not so good in those things to look at because, let's be honest, in the Olympics, there's no pacemakers. So, you know, it's a very strange race. If nobody takes the pace, maybe it's a good race for a former 10K runner. If everybody only starts racing in a second part or only after 30K, it's a totally different marathon. You can win in 208 or 210 even. Of course, the condition. So I don't think that in Ethiopia, the Federation is that smart to know to take all those things in consideration. But I agree. Even the fastest time doesn't make so much sense. If you know, we saw it last time with Stephen Kiprotic in London. You know, he was certainly not the fastest runner. He has never run faster than 207, 206. But he wins the Olympics because it's a different race.
Jos Hermans, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237. So drop me a line when you get the chance. I appreciate the feedback here at our Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C. The Voice of America officially welcomed Amanda Bennett as its 29th director on Monday morning here in Washington. The 63-year-old Bennett is the former editor of two newspapers, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Lexington Herald Leader, and she also was a top editor at Bloomberg News. She has a long history in journalism, including with the Wall Street Journal, where she shared a Pulitzer Prize for national reporting, and at the Oregonian newspaper in Portland, Oregon, where her team won another Pulitzer for public service. Amanda Bennett says she's happy and excited to be part of such a vital news organization as the Voice of America. On the social media front, if you'd like to send a congratulatory tweet to Amanda Bennett after her swearing in as the new VOA director, her handle is @VOAdirector, @VOAdirector. Send her a tweet and tell her Sonny sent ya. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Good to have you back. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
#BostonMarathon. This is a top trending topic, not just in the U.S., but around the world as the runners compete in the 120th running of the Boston Marathon.
What a history.
What a history indeed, and a sweep by Ethiopia. Lots of people noting that, saying it's a clean sweep for the country. They have a lot to be proud of today in Boston.
Let me mention the winners once again. Andrew, on the men's side, Lemmy Hiley, 21 years old, won the men's title in Boston with an unofficial time of 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 44 seconds. And on the women's side, another Ethiopian, Atsede Baisa. Her time, 2 hours, 29 minutes, and 18 seconds. The Ethiopians, of course, have such a proud history when it comes to distance running.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of congratulations on social media for these winners. And you know, you mentioned that the men's winner is 21 years old. Somebody tweeted out and said, the men's winner is 21, and I get winded when I walk up the steps. So, they, you know, people are making fun of themselves. You know, they run right through the heart of Boston, so there are a lot of people watching them and a lot of people commenting on the athletic ability of these athletes, because it's just, you know, it's outstanding how well they've done. People noted, though, that these were some of the slowest times in recent Boston marathons, I think the slowest times in about the past 10 years. And they're saying that that might be due to the heat. Now, I actually just flew in from Boston this morning. I was up visiting friends, and it's about 20 degrees Celsius it's supposed to get to today. So very warm for Boston this time of year, very warm for a marathon. So they were saying that maybe that heat contributed to some of the runners maybe running a little more slowly than usual.
I agree with you, Andrew. In fact, early in the show, we had Parker Morse live from Boston, and he mentioned the weather being a factor in the slower times, that even the woman's winner, I think her personal best was about 7 minutes faster than what she ran today. But great performance nonetheless to win in those type of conditions.
Absolutely. And while we're talking about the winners, there, you know, we have to remember that there are so many other people that qualify, great runners that run this Boston Marathon. So there was a nice tweet that I saw. Somebody tweeted out a picture. It was either her boyfriend or her husband. She said, "This is my runner. If you see him, shout out Go Jerry." So that was a nice way to, you know, spread that out on social media, get the word out on social media. Lots of great photos and videos from throughout Boston as people are awaiting their finishers at the finish line, their runners at the finish line. It's just a really great atmosphere for the city, and especially after the bombings there several years ago, it's become a kind of an event, not just for athletics, but an event to show the pride in the city and the strength of the city. You know, hashtag Boston Strong. Saw a few tweets using that today.
I was scanning my Facebook page earlier, Andrew, and lots of Boston Marathon photos. One of Boston's biggest sports heroes, Tom Brady, at the Boston Marathon on Monday, and he posed with one of the bombing victims from a few years ago who was going to run the race today with a prosthetic leg. Very inspirational that some of these athletes that were hurt a few years ago are now back running again.
Oh, absolutely. And that's not lost on people at all. We're seeing photos of those runners participating, some of them who were injured in the attack. Another person, actually inspirational person, Bobby Gibb, people are noting. She was the first woman to complete the Boston Marathon 50 years ago. It used to be only men could run in the Boston Marathon. Women could not run. It was not sanctioned. Well, she ran 50 years ago in 1966, became the first woman to finish. It was unsanctioned at the time, and then about 20 years ago for the 100th Boston Marathon, 1996, they said, you know what, we're going to credit you with these wins and say you were the official winner. So she was actually the first woman ever to win the Boston Marathon 50 years ago. So big anniversary, a lot of people noting that her progress helped to move that forward.
And as we talk about these big marathons, Andrew, Boston is unique in that you have to qualify for this marathon, whereas, say, with like the New York City Marathon or the London Marathon or some of these other big city marathons, you basically can enter no matter what your speed.
Exactly. I have a friend that ran about a month ago a marathon here in Washington, D.C., so that he could qualify for Boston for next year. So I'll hopefully be there with him next year. So maybe I'll be reporting live in Boston next year. But it really is, you know, it's an elite race for the elite runners all over the world, and that's why it's getting global attention.
We can talk more about this on Tuesday, Andrew, but I understand Steph Curry is trending, but not necessarily for his performance.
No, he injured his ankle, so people are concerned, saying, is he going to have to sit out the next game in the playoffs? What is his health going to be like? So there's a lot of questions and speculation about that on social media, but nonetheless, the Warriors won by 26 points in game one, so people are saying, even if Steph Curry sits out, looks like they're going to be just fine.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the April 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Keith Holmes. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Africa Logistic Forum is an example of how the United States can support African nations to examine and explore continuing logistics challenges in Africa's security sector, said U.S. Ambassador to Ghana, Robert Jackson. Speaking at the opening ceremony of the Africa Logistics Forum in Accra, April 12th, the ambassador noted, "The forum focuses on analyzing the existing logistic gaps, explores practical applications, and surveys sound principles for effective logistics management." The United States, he said, continues to recognize the importance of the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. The center's mission to provide training, education, and research to foster peace and stability in Africa is vital and has impact on real lives throughout Africa. The center has already trained more than 11,000 people from diverse organizations in essential aspects of peacekeeping operations. The United States' main objective, said Ambassador Jackson, is to support African nations with all required assistance. It is imperative to have experienced personnel with the right equipment and training if we are to overcome the logistical obstacles we face in garrison, operational, or tactical environments. Our Ghanaian partners have been a major contributor to the United Nations peacekeeping operations, he said, supplying more than 3,000 personnel, including police, military observers, and troops, in the past 8 years. Exercises such as the Logistics Peacekeeping Operations and the African Deployment Assistance Partnership Team, conducted in Ghana, Togo, and Benin in the last 2 years, have been essential for training logistical units and personnel. The Logistics Peacekeeping Operations is a training event focused on logistics before, during, and after peacekeeping operations. This exercise covered sustainment principles, including preventative maintenance checks and services, subsistence and field feeding, general supply, transportation, distribution, as well as logistical estimates. In addition, the African Deployment Assistance Partnership Team bridges the gap between limited deployment capacity to participating nations in peacekeeping operations, humanitarian response operations, and contingency operations. Ambassador Jackson told the forum participants that the United States and the nations of Africa share a common destiny. "I am confident," he said, "that work like yours will allow us to marshal the tools necessary to craft partnerships and, as Kofi Annan said, to face our goals together."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk. Transportation in Africa. What are the common ways of transportation? Are they convenient? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing transportation in Africa. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.